Oh, you know.
Legislation, Legislative Committee on Legislative Administration. It's November 12th. Strike that. November 17th, hearing room A. Open a public hearing and possible work session, adoption of rules. Senator, would the Speaker and Kotek have a motion, please, for me?
I would. Mr. Chair, good afternoon, everyone. Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt the proposed rules on Joint Committee on Legislative Admin. You should have a copy in front of you.
Does everyone have that before you? Everybody know what we're doing? Mm-hmm. Any discussion? Any objections? That motion's been adopted. Okay, Oregon Capital Foundation appointments. Now, we have a work session on this, and we also have a public hearing work session. Would the individual who is at the witness table wish to speak to this?
Senator Courtney, for the record, Kevin Hayden, legislative administrator. To speak to this, I would invite the chair of the Oregon State Capital Foundation's nominating committee, Mr. Gary Wilhelms, to speak to that.
Well, he came up here, but he brought somebody else with him, just so you know, Kevin. So I don't know what's going on here, but this is interesting. So, Mr. Wilhelms, do you wish to speak to us after you identify yourself?
Gary Wilhelms, for the record. I live in unincorporated Washington County, and I'm chair of the nominating committee for the Oregon State Capital Foundation. And I think you may have a copy of the written report in front of you. If you don't, yeah, that's it. Thank you. Representative Kotek, the proposal today is that you approve the appointment of Mr. Jason Atkinson and Ms. Julia Brim Edwards to the Oregon State Capital Foundation.
Do we need to renew?
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Yes, please. Thank you, Kotek.
Good to see you, Mr. Wilhelms.
Thank you.
So are we also having to do any of the other items on here?
I am reminded that, yeah, I was just looking right past
okay,
that.
Okay, do we have to do all of it?
Yes, thank you very much. We need to also approve the reappointment of Jane Cease, Norm Smith, Jerry Thompson, Fred Bonatta, and Gary Wilhelms to the foundation. Thank you for catching me.
Does everybody know what's going on? Any confusion?
Yeah,
one of my fellow senators, I'm receiving nothing but Senator Hanson, you're not using any body language. What are you doing? Are you confused?
No.
I'm glad to hear that.
Mr. Chair, I have a question. Is there any concern from the Senate to have a former senator on the Capitol Foundation?
No.
Depends.
Okay.
Right.
Senator Gerard, are you concerned about that?
Oh, absolutely.
But you will vote the way I tell you, right?
Pretty much.
Thank you. So, do I ask the House the same thing? Do they have any concerns? Is that all right, Madam Speaker?
They don't look concerned.
They're not showing much there.
You need body
at all.
Language?
Looking good. Looking good. Thank you, Representative. Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the recommendations of the nominating subcommittee of the Oregon State Capital Foundation.
Discussion?
I do have a question. Does this have to be ratified on the floor, or is it just up to us?
This would be the decision of this committee, Senator Gerard.
Oh, man, I didn't know I had that much power.
You should have.
Thank you.
How long have you been on the committee, Senator Gerard?
Mentally or physically?
All right. Senator Bill Hanson?
I'm going to object.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just curious. We've actually got three nomination categories here, and you've only covered two. Do we want to do the third as well?
Senator Hansel, item number three does not require approval of this of your committee. It can be done by the board of directors of the Capital Foundation.
Okay.
And at the time this report was written, I don't believe that was the case, but now it is because the board of directors has been formally established through legislation that you passed during the 2015 session.
Mr. Chairman, with that explanation, all my confusion is dissipated.
Any objections? Seeing no objections, the motion is carried. Representative McLean. All right. So now we go to informational meetings, I believe. We have an informational meeting on the Emergency Action Plan update. I've already heard this once today in front of the Veterans Committee. So please proceed to identify who you are, and what you're going to talk about.
Good afternoon. Again, I am Kevin Hayden, Legislative Administrator. And the first thing to talk about here is the work that we've been doing over the last 6 months on the Capitol's Emergency Action Plan. The Emergency Action Plan, in essence, is the first 15 minutes, how we keep everybody safe, whether it's fire, flood, active shooter, whatever the emergency is, what our plan is to make sure that people are evacuated and taken care of and kept as safe as possible. Our plan was about 8 to 10 years old, and it was time to update it. And what we did was we first pulled out FEMA best practices. There's been a lot of change in information over the years. It was a very inclusive process. It included the state police, the Office of Emergency Management, Salem Fire Department, Salem Emergency Management, Marion County Emergency Management. We've briefed most of the legislative agencies, their staff, the desks, and had some meetings with the governor's office, the secretary of state, and the treasurers, just to make sure that we were all working from the same playbook. We did a risk analysis to try to determine what the most likely threats here at the Capitol are, and then made sure that our plans addressed how we address each one of those, from internal emergency communications, how do we get the word out to people, how do we keep people updated as the processes are ongoing, and then how do we account for our people and make sure that they're safe. What the plan does is it assigns that responsibility primarily to people within legislative administration, in the facilities staff, and within my own staff. But it includes additional training. We have a series of blue vest monitors that work throughout the building. There are people who are assigned to most offices on every floor. And we want to make sure that they truly understand what their role is in helping us account for everybody and pass information on to the first responders, whomever those first responders are. So there will be the next steps will really be a series of orientations to the plan to really start to train to it and make sure that everybody understands. It's a living, breathing document. So as we find things that don't work, we'll be able to update it and revise it as necessary. Training will be a series of both large kind of presentations, whether it's the state police or somebody coming in to just pass information, and then more similar to the way that we handled the Great Oregon Shakeout in October, really coming to every office and trying to do more one-on-one personal approach with people. With the implementation of the Emergency Action Plan, the next step is really a much deeper look, and that's our business continuity plan or continuity of operations plan, whichever way you're used to referring to it, which talks about what we do when we don't have access to the building after that first 15 minutes, whether it's something local that just affects the Capitol itself, or it's the Cascadia subduction zone earthquake and the entire western part of the state is trying to recover. So the challenge there is looking at a scalable plan and determining what level it's written to and how we go. In order to make this work, we really have to tap into a lot of outside resources. There is a fledgling business continuity plan community of practice that is under the guidance of Mike Matthews at DHS and Eric Rao at OEM. And they are starting to work together so that all of us that are working on these business continuity plans develop plans that work together and aren't too siloed, so that we're off in left field doing what we want to do, and we have no idea what any other agency or organization is trying to do. So really, the next steps, we're going to be working to formalize and make sure we truly understand the full level of continuity of governance, because that will truly dictate if it's a large event, where government is going to reside and how we're going to have the right people, supplies, equipment, and necessary information available so that you can do the job that you have to do in an emergency. So it's a two-pronged approach. We'll be working with each of the agencies to talk about individually what they need in order to do the work of their agency, depending on what the situation is, and also what the generalized continuity of governance plan is, so that we can make sure that our plan dovetails into that and works well.
Is that it?
That's it.
Questions, comments, concerns? Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kevin, this looks like a very detailed, comprehensive plan. My question is just that with a session coming up and a lot of new people being hired into jobs, is there a plan to communicate not every detail of this, but just the most important things that people would need to know to be able to do their jobs here in the Capitol?
Excellent question, Chair Courtney, Senator Rosenbaum. The training plan that we want to get to, certainly as we move into session, that's a key time, because we get so many employees that are only here during that area. If you think back to past sessions, it was kind of a just the big meeting, and we covered just the high points, and it certainly touched on information but wasn't enough. And that's where we really want to get down to more of the detailed, whether it's working through the caucuses, through individual offices, and make sure that we are catching those new people. We're going to work this into our member onboarding program so that they as new people are brought on board, we have an onboarding program now where they're given information on facilities, on computers, and on HR information. So we want to add in just a little bit more about this. We will have a quick action card, you know, trifold type information card that we'll be able to hand out, and then we'll be providing those at the beginning of the session and looking for opportunities to provide that training.
Representative McLean.
Sir.
Did you have a question?
Yes. Kevin, I think this is very well put together. I'm looking forward to reading it in detail. I'm fascinated by the flood maps. I think that's I like, you know, pictures. But other than that,
it's all you have?
I think it's very well done. I'm very impressed.
Representative Williamson, was your hand up?
My hand was not up.
Who were you talking about? Wanted to speak?
Representative Smith. Sorry.
Representative Smith.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Representative, what do you want? You I guess you want to talk. I can't tell your directions because you deferred to Representative McLean and Wink.
Representative Smith. I thought you wanted me to talk.
Representative Smith, you must ask something or whatever you want to do.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So as we're looking at capital security, you know, in the past the conversation's always been around natural disaster. Are there conversations about human interactions, you know, the human disaster, the tragedies that occur? And was there discussion, or has there been any discussion about increased security or increased clearance to get into the Capitol?
We are always in discussion primarily with the state police as our primary security providers about what we can do, what training that they are doing with themselves in order to know our building as good as possible. And we are always looking for opportunities to look at security. We don't, in this plan, because this plan is actually rather the public-facing side of that, we try not to talk about exactly what those security measures are in a more open forum, but we are always looking for opportunities to increase security while keeping the building as open to the public and the resource that it is to Oregonians today.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Mr. Chair.
Further questions?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, as a person who lived through the Cold War, like many of my colleagues, cowering under our desks, in a fetal position waiting for the flash of light that might hit the wall.
You did that under a desk?
And we trained, yes, to duck and cover, if you remember the training. Many of us had that training. One of the features of that was the development of EORCs, or Emergency Operations Relocation Centers. Washington State still has, I think, three EORCs, one in southwest Washington on the coast, one under the Capitol building, deeply buried under the Capitol building, and then one in eastern Washington State. Have we looked at or thought about the necessity of relocating all of state government out of the Willamette Valley in an EORC or an Emergency Operations Relocation Center?
Co-Chair Courtney, Co-Chair Kochek.
It's classified information, Mr. Chairman. I don't need
Senator Ferraioli. No, it's not classified. That really is kind of the larger question, the continuity of governance question. I've had a couple of brief meetings with some emergency management people. Nick Herrera in my office has had more. I've had a couple of meetings with Senator Boquist talking about some of the options that are out there. And I don't personally know the full details on that now. That's part of what we have to truly understand as we're developing our continuity of operations plan, because it's very easy to say if not very easy. It's much easier to say if we lose access to the Capitol because of a flood or a fire, relocating somewhere here locally, when we're talking about the long distance where we would operate from. Exactly where that is today, I don't have that answer, or exactly how we get people there. There are a lot of moving parts that go into what that looks like, and that's the next steps that we'll be trying to work with the larger group on to truly understand what currently exists so that we're not trying to reinvent anything.
That answers my question, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
So, close the information hearing. Emergency action plan update and open up more informational hearing meeting on facility services update. Proceed.
So it's been quite some time since we've talked, and in that time the Oscar project did not receive funding. So in light of that, I wanted to talk to this committee about kind of specifically where we're going and what our plans are next in facilities, because there's been a lot of things happening in the facilities world lately that you've been seeing emails on. You know, there's no lights in the basement because we're working on the ceiling. We have an emergency generator right now. So just wanted to talk through that. So kind of first, closing out the Oscar project, our goal, as soon as the project team was told that there would not be funding to move to the construction phase, was to make sure that we had an orderly shutdown and still tried to achieve the design phase goals of having what's referred to as the implementation documents completed, so that should the project receive funding, we would have a strong starting point. So the project manager that we had at the time, Marina Cresswell, helped really work with the team and design a very good shutdown pattern that conserved as much money as possible and got us through to that endpoint, to where the contractors did in September deliver the specifications and drawings that are the substance of the implementation documents. We have right now, with all of the major contractor bills turned in, a project cost of about $23.8 million is where we're sitting. We have very minor contractor bills. It's the guys doing some of the final patchwork on some of the investigation work that still have to be paid, but that's less than $20,000 in bills remaining outstanding that we have right now. So the time and effort of the architects and the subcontractors that did the investigation have already paid off to a large degree, and that we will try to reuse that information as much as possible moving forward. Although a lot of their drawings are the designs that they came up with require, you know, the entire base isolation. So some of the ways that they had of resolving some of our issues can't be accomplished. The investigations that they did are not lost. We have gone out and requested a facilities conditions assessment by an outside contractor to help us truly start to look at kind of a long range planning for what we can do in the 2, 5, and 10 year range as far as trying to bring forth some upgrades to primarily mechanical, electrical, plumbing, ease of access, ADA requirements to look at those. Three emergent problems that we recently had that certainly would have been identified and been near the top. The boilers that I already talked about, if you're not aware, we had some radiator issues where we had water leaking primarily behind the Senate, behind the chambers back there, which required us to move some people out, and we're having to replace carpets and do things. So they're all, although it's a minor problem, it's a major inconvenience for those people that work in those areas. And we have some excess elevator wear and tear that we're working with the contractor to design the fix on that. So the facilities conditions assessment will be done here in December. With that, we will hopefully be coming forward with a plan to say this is what it would take to work on those issues, to keep the lights on, to keep the water flowing, and all of those things that for so long were at least since I've been here, we've kind of been on a wait and see. If the Oscar project had gone forward, most of them would have been resolved. But we want to make sure that we have a very concise plan for how to invest any money in the building, and that it's not just when something breaks, we'll fix it, because that tends to be the most inconvenient way of doing business.
Questions? So,
Mr. Chair,
Senator Berg,
if we did this approach of fixing what's actually broken right now, and then later do the seismic upgrade that the building desperately needs, how much money is lost in that process that would be saved if we combine them?
Excellent question, Co-Chair Courtney, Co-Chair Kotek, Senator Burdick. To say what would be lost, I can't say right now, because I don't have exactly what we would be working on. Anything that we do now, we would want to revisit in the designs to see if we could salvage as much of any of that work as is possible, so that if we decide, well, we're going to have to put in new boilers, so part of the design in the current renovation project basically discounted those boilers because they were at the end of their life. So in the new project, we would want to go back and say, can we salvage those new boilers and keep them, and keep that as the plan versus moving in a different direction. So there would be some work to see what could we salvage from any work that's done. Most of the things that we're going to be addressing are going to be those end-of-life type issues where we've got to fix it either way, and you know, we can't have a lack of heat, or we can't have the elevators not work. So we know that these are things that have to be done, and we will certainly try to conserve every dollar we can and reuse as much of it as possible.
It could cost.
Other questions? So in December, there will be in the hands of the members of this committee and for the general public a document in detail that tells us the conditions of the facilities in the old building and the new?
Of the entire building. We will have a complete assessment.
I'm curious. The boiler that's out there on the sidewalk, the temporary boiler, is that there indefinitely till we resolve this, or what is the situation with that?
The temporary boiler right now, we have a lease through April and then an extension to continue through the end of session, but we are also working with a engineering firm to design a new boiler setup. So we're looking at what's the most cost effective, and also if there's any labor reductions we can get with maybe low pressure steam. So we actually are working with a contractor to start the design work on a new boiler setup. So this is only a temporary boiler system, and our plan is to put in a new boiler.
Is that boiler out there the only thing that's giving us the heat and all the other things that a boiler ordinarily does?
In the 1938 building, yes. The wings have a warm water heating system, so they are not reliant on the boiler. But for the historic building, that temporary boiler is what's giving us all of our heat right now.
The staff on the third floor of the Senate, which was the staff, I believe, of the Judiciary Committee, where are they now?
They will be moving into other facility spaces, or not facilities, I'm sorry, committee services spaces until we get the repair work done up there, which we think will be done in December. So between now and December, we'll be ripping out the carpets, putting in new carpets, repainting. Doing some other much needed work while we're doing the carpets. We'll try to hit everything we can in there.
Where are the primary ADA deficient entrances or exits in this building that you referred to?
We only have one ADA compliant entrance, which is on the east end of the old building.
This one over here?
Over
right where the path that goes to the where the boiler is, the outside boiler. That entrance is the only one that's ADA compliant?
That is the only ADA compliant entrance we have right now, because it's the only one that for wheelchair
access. This side and that side, they're not compliant.
There is no wheelchair access to any of those entrances, so no, they're not compliant.
That might have been obvious to you, but it wasn't obvious to me until right now that you said it. Other questions, concerns, comments? All right. Well, you're not going to delay. We're going to get the report, right, in December, which is next month. This is it's coming, right?
We will have the draft report by the end of December.
Okay. Oh, Senator Girard, please.
Thank you. I just had a meeting with Capital Construction, and I have to tell you that all state facilities, we've done a really poor job with maintenance and trying to figure out what we need to do and what we need to do to catch up with maintenance, I think is a fundamental problem. And just getting an inventory is very helpful. So the fact that we're leading the way in the Capitol, that's a very good thing. But all our state buildings really need to have kind of a long-term plan as to what maintenance that we're going to be doing.
Anybody in the House? Public hearing closed. Anything else, Senators, for the record? Anything else, House, for the record? This meeting's over. This meeting's over.